politics, religion, fortune, privilege, fame, addicted, money, getting richer, power, manipulation. Welcome to the school.
It's time.
Welcome to the school of life. School of life. Sometimes I did it wrong, sometimes I did it right. School of life. No matter how crazy this world may seem.
Today, unfortunately, I'm not going to come from the Book of Psalms today. I'm not, and I'll make that plain why later on. But what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about crucial conversations. Crucial conversations. You know what time it is, right?
Story time.
So in my workplace, maybe in yours too, there's two types of people. There's two types of people that work in my workplace. You have people that are law enforcement officers, which means that carry a badge and carry a gun. And then you have our counterparts, which are civilians, right? These people work for the police department, but they don't have the authority to arrest or anything like that. Whenever there's these different dynamics in workplaces, sometimes that causes a division amongst the people because they feel like, you know, on one end, you know, police officers act like this or they do too much. And then on the other end, you know, police officers may say, well, civilians are lazy and they don't know what it is to work. All this type of stuff. That stuff exists in all different kinds of workforces. So when I noticed that this existed in my workplace, when I got sent to human resources to work as a field recruiter, I made it my business. I took it personal to make sure that every civilian that I came in contact with, civilian meaning person that's not a police officer, I made sure they had this super good encounter to try to change the narrative of this beef between people that are sworn and not sworn. I did different things like what we'll do recruiting events, and we had recruiters that were not police officers. And, you know, one good thing about driving a police car, especially with an X plate, is you can park anywhere, right? It's almost like the no parking signs don't apply to you. So I would do stuff like, oh, no, y'all don't have to pay for parking. Just park behind me. I made it my business to make sure that every civilian that I ever worked with felt comfortable. Amen. So because I took that initiative, it was dear to me. Well, fast forward, you know, years later, in present week, or maybe last week, whatever, we had national news, NBC come in to do an interview. Many of you watched the news, you probably would have saw it, about one of our mental health events. And the room that we needed to conduct this interview was booked. So I had to make some calls to get this room available because CNN was coming in. The chief was going to be doing an interview. I had to make sure everything was set up. So whatever was going in the room, I don't know what was going on in the room, but unfortunately, it was canceled. Because we had the chief that was going to come in and go into this room and do a press conference. Well, everybody got the memo. Except for the civilian employees that are in the room. And when I got down there, I made a call to my supervisor. I said, man, it's a whole class of people. It was a class of new hire dispatchers in here going through class. And he said, well, just the interview starts in 10 minutes. I'm sorry, you're just going to have to be the bearer of bad news. They have to go. They can't. I said, oh, man. So I tried to wait till they got on a break, and when they got on a break and everything, I was kind of peeking in the room, whatever. The lady, I think she noticed me there because I was surprised to see her. So she sent everybody on break, and then real forcefully she says, well, can I help you? I said, oh, man. I said, I'm so sorry. I guess the memo was not passed out. we got this clear through your commander who you work for, whatever. This room is supposed to be taken because we have to do an interview. The chief is coming down to do the interview. So unfortunately, you know, I need you guys to leave and like now because it's happening. And she went off. She was upset. Because here we go again. Y'all officers, you see the narrative. Think y'all better than everybody because y'all got a badge and stuff and y'all carry a gun. Telling me to get out and I got new hires in here and we set up and what we supposed to go and what we supposed to do. Ma'am, I'm sorry. I wish I had somewhere for you to go. I wish I could figure it out, but I'm sorry. So it played into a narrative that I actually really cared about. Because since I was made aware of this, I've always tried to have a working positive relationship with the civilian employees. But here I am coming into this room, have to have this crucial conversation with this lady and tell her that I'm sorry, but all 10 of y'all, 15 of y'all gotta go. And even though she was upset, even though she was bothered, even though she was mad and everything and all upset, whatever, I remained it professional. But more importantly, I had the conversation in love. Now, I came on behalf of the chief. That's who I work for. So I don't really care what you got going on. This room needs to be taken over and that's it. Just bottom line. But I didn't go in there like that. I was real apologetic in my delivery. And even in her discomfort, I didn't let that rattle me because I wanted this to be an opportunity where the narrative for her could be changed. Because if I would have just got upset or allowed this conversation of her actions to bother me, then she would have threw me in the same category that she did everybody else. But I acted in love. I was apologetic. She even told me, I understand you're sorry, but sorry ain't helping me right now. But I acted in love. And then after she acted all nasty on me and everything, she said, well, are you changing the room? I said, yeah, we're going to have to reconfigure the room. Well, can you at least put it back? Now, everything in me wanted to say, well, no, you're going to have to get your people down here to come put this room how you want this room to be. But I said, sure. How do you want it? You want it just, okay. And so what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about crucial conversations. You see, after this encounter, maybe a week later, I seen her in the hallway and she pulled me aside and she said two simple words. It wasn't, I'm sorry. That would have been nice. But she said, thank you. Now, I don't know why she was thanking me. But I only can think that my willingness to handle a crucial conversation correctly produced some gratitude. And if we could just learn how to handle crucial conversations in our lives, it don't change the message or it doesn't change the end result, but the person who you're having a conversation with can say, thank you for that. Because what good is sending a message if the message is not received? The Bible says that one brother offended is harder to win back than a whole entire city. So sometimes, for the sake of being right, we'll offend people and then try to pray for them out that same. Well, now I don't want your prayer because you done messed me up. But we have to learn how to have crucial conversations. Because watch this. A lot of times our growth, our maturity, and our elevation in God comes from having some crucial conversations. I grew when somebody pulled me aside and said, listen, the way that you're going, if you keep on going this way, it ain't going to be pretty for you. But because that conversation was had in love and not hate, I was able to take it, digest it, and change. Many of us are talking to a lot of people, but are not experiencing the change in their lives because our delivery is all wrong.
My God, help us.
Say that. Help us.
It means no good to mean well and to offend somebody. I don't care what you meant. I care what was done. And we have to learn how to have conversations with people that allows them to grow. But if we be honest, most of the times we're not concerned, if we tell the truth, take self-inventory, with the growth of the person, we're more concerned about being right. Because right is right. Yep, right is right. And now that person is offended. Right is right. Now that person is no longer here anymore. Right is right. And you can't. What good is, I promise this wasn't even the message. This ain't even where I'm going with this. So the question becomes, what is a crucial conversation? What is, write this down. Number one is, somebody say high stakes. High stakes. Crucial conversation happens when stakes are high, meaning that this conversation could depend on me loving you and continuing on this relationship or walking away from this relationship. This conversation can lead to me to joining this church or leaving this church. This conversation can lead to me accepting this job or walking away from this opportunity. So we have to do a better job of realizing and recognizing when we've entered in a crucial conversation. Because crucial conversations take more than normal conversations. Crucial conversations take more grace. It takes more listening. It takes more than a regular, normal conversation. So I want to help you real quick. Notice when you're in the crucial conversation. Number one, the stakes are high. My bad, I just realized I didn't send this to y'all. There we go. It's going to pop on the screen in 1 second. All right, cool. Stakes are high. Number two, opposing opinions.
Right. Come on.
Opposing opinions. You know, let me give you an example of an opposing opinion. You could be your wife. I'm just going to use a married example with this real quick. You know, your wife seeing you come in and you seeing so-and-so and you gave her a little church hug, whatever. You went on and you get in the car and your wife was like, I guess you want to take so-and-so on a date, huh? You like, what you, take her on a date? Woman, what are you talking about? No, I seen how you hugged her. I seen how you looked at her. You have now just entered into a crucial conversation. Because what you did and what she saw, two totally different things. It's a crucial conversation because the opinions are opposed. I thought I just gave her a church hug. And you know what? I've been paying attention. You've been hugging her first. Every time they say go hug three people, you run to her first. For y'all that want to be married, This is stuff, kind of conversations that happen to marriage sometimes.
Yes, sir.
Can we tell the truth and shame the devil? You see, but if you don't understand how to handle this crucial conversation, your marriage will end up in divorce. Not because y'all don't love each other, not because it wasn't ordained by God, but because you never learned how to have a crucial conversation. Because whenever opposing opinions happen, y'all fought instead of understanding each other. And we don't have to use marriage as a content. We can use anything. Mentorship, growth, the way, you know, the way I saw that you did this, I think you could have did it this way. Well, no, managing, all of that. Opposing opinions. The next thing is strong emotions. If somebody calls you crying or they're overly emotional in what's going on, no matter what they're saying, you have to learn how to take a step back and say, okay, what I'm hearing is that you're very emotional right now. What I'm understanding is this. But when emotions are strong and high, you got to hit that button. Boop. Crucial conversation. And that's what I hope comes from today, right? I hope that you are living life, you're going through life, and something happens and it, boop, crucial conversation. Now I need to handle this. Because how we handle these conversations sets the trajectory of our life, our relationship, and our ability to grow and to flourish as people. Strong emotions. The next one I want to give you, nope, it was just three. High stakes, opposing opinions, and strong emotions. Now, what I want you to understand with this is that you have options. You have options. When somebody comes to you with high stakes, when somebody comes to you with opposing opinions and strong emotions, you don't have to handle this conversation the first way that comes to your mind. You literally can choose on how you want to handle this conversation. Can I give you some statistics really quick? 70% of people avoid these conversations. They avoid them because either stakes are too high, emotions are too strong, or opinions are too large to come together. So what we see as a result of these is failed marriages, lost jobs, offended people, and the list goes on and on and on and on, because 70% of people say, you know what? I'm just ain't gonna say nothing. But could you imagine if you said something and said it properly, how you could help somebody?
Right.
Do you realize that if you say something, how you could change a generation? Do you see if you say something, you can uproot generational curses?
Come on.
The question becomes, or the statement becomes, is, we avoid crucial conversations because we don't truly understand conflict. Because for whatever reason, we've always been taught or viewed to see conflict as a negative thing. We've always been to see stuff that if you don't agree with me, then you're against me. That's a spirit straight from hell. If you don't agree with me, then you don't like me. If you don't agree with me, then you're hating. Yeah. But what you do when you live out of that, when that is your mindset, that you think that everybody has to agree with you and everybody has to see things the way that you see it, then you limit yourself to yourself.
Yeah. There you go.
So what you don't know, you're never going to know. What you can't do, you're never going to be able to do. Because you have this negative mindset that conflict, that disagreement is of the devil. Disagreement or conflict, it's not of the devil. It's a part of life. It's a part of life. But I don't know where we got this from, that everybody has to be singing our praises. If you don't have somebody in your circle that can pull your coattail, that can tell you, yeah, man, you out of line. Then Houston, we have a problem. We have a major problem because what you have done, watch this. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You have elevated yourself to God in your life. Last time I checked, his thoughts were far from our thoughts and his ways were. Last time I thought he was perfect in all of his ways. So you're God. And you're walking around living through this false dominance of elevating yourself to God because can't nobody tell you nothing. And so you find yourself in a pit. You find yourself taking consecutive loss after consecutive loss. And it's not because God don't love you. It's because you're not listening to the people that he sent to you. Could you imagine? I'll get to that later. What I want to tell you is that conflict has a duality. Somebody say duality. Duality simply means that two things can be true at the same time. If I draw a six on this ground right here and I look at this, I would say all day it's a six. But if I happen to move myself 180 degrees from where I stand, if I look at that same six, it'll become a nine. But where were we all in our lives? Where everything that we think and we feel is right. Everything that we think and feel is right. And anybody that has a different opinion than us is wrong. It's a scary place. Yeah. But what I'll tell you is that conflict can be constructive or destructive. We can take conflict and we can find a new way to do some amazing things. Or we can take conflict and we can allow it to ruin us. So every time you are faced with conflict, it doesn't have to be a fight. It doesn't have to be a disagreement. You can actually come into a new understanding. But if you always view conflict as destructive, you will never get to that place. And what the enemy does is he sit back and watch, and all he do is keep pumping us up in our pride. You right, you don't need them anyway. They ain't love you anyway. And then these thoughts dominate our mind that causes us to isolate ourselves from the voice of God. Wow. And God doesn't always speak audibly. He speaks sometimes or most times from the people that are around us. And you praying and you praying for God to give you special instructions and you praying for God to give you, tell you how to go, and God then already spoke it. But the problem is you're not listening because you're viewing conflict the wrong way. Conflict doesn't have to be destructive. It can be constructive. Destructive conflict, I'm going somewhere. It's characterized by feelings of frustration. So we hear something. We don't like it. It makes us feel uncomfortable. That's okay. That's okay. But we allow that feeling of that discomfort, of that frustration, of that antagonize, we allow that to become the sum of what was said. So we never get to the root because we can't get past how we feel. But can I tell you that feelings change? Some days I feel good. Some days I don't. Some days, you know, I want to listen to Kirk Franklin, and some days I want to listen to Jesus. It just all depends on what I'm in the mood for. So if you could allow your feelings to settle before you just pop out the mouth and have this critical conversation, God can be pleased through the conversation. Come on. But we don't get past how we feel. Because we have this mindset that everything and everybody is supposed to make us feel good. Do you know how a diamond is constructed? It's by pressure. That's right. Yes, sir. Do you realize to get any fruit, it first has to be buried? The feelings that you have of being alone, the feeling of being upset, the feeling of all this stuff is temporary. But there's plenty of people who've ruined relationships who sit in jail right now because they couldn't get past how they felt. Now we're stagnant in our growth. God cannot do what he wants to do with us. He can't get the best out of our lives because we are viewing conflict the wrong way. Do you know how much conflict David faced? Do you know the conflict that Jesus faced? Could you imagine if Jesus would have gave up because he was healing people and they said, well, you're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath? Could you imagine if he would have said, you know what? Because y'all don't want me here because I'm leaving. I'm just gone. No, but he knew there was a need beyond the two or three folks that were complaining. Constructive conflict is this. It's understanding that conflict can be resolved in a positive manner to benefit both parties. It's understanding that this conflict that we have, it can be resolved in the way where I win and you win. But for some reason, when we have these conflicts, when we have these crucial conversations, we only think about ourselves. We think about what we want to get out of it. We think about what we need out of it. But what good is what you need if it ruins the other person? That is pure selfishness. I'll go say this. That is pure demonic. Making yourself God alone, sovereign. But we have to get away from these mindsets, from these thinkings that conflict has to be bad, that conflict is a bad thing, and all other stuff. But we have to understand that conflict is, it's an opportunity to learn something new, to do something different. So I want to take you really quick to the Bible. I want to go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I wanted to stay in Psalms with this because there were many Psalms where David had a crucial conversation with God about how he was feeling. But I thought about, what is the most crucialest conversation that I could find in the Bible? And this conversation is centered around this scripture, but the conversation doesn't happen in this scripture. So I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to give you two ideas of how I think this conversation happened, okay? Let's read this. All right, Matthew chapter 18. I'm at the wrong place. Sorry about that. Matthew 18. Yep, I'm here. Never mind. I'm sorry. 18:21. This is what it says. It says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. Verse number 20. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So what we don't see here is the crucial conversation that had to take place between Joseph and Mary. Now, I got two ideas in my mind. You can take the one that you want because it's not in the Bible, so we have to fill in the blank to figure out what happened. Two ways this could happen. My way, I'm going to use my way, and I'm going to use Mother Moore way. Me and Mother Moore talked about this a couple weeks ago. My way is this. She walked in the room and was like, Joseph, man, I got to tell you something. It's quite funny. You ain't going to believe it either. Joseph's like, what you talking about, Mary? She like, well, I'm pregnant. He like, pregnant? Stop playing. She like, no, I'm seriously pregnant. She like, he like, what? By who? The Holy Spirit. And I could imagine Joseph saying, you must be out your doggone mind. You coming in here telling me you pregnant. And you pregnant by the Holy Spirit? And I'm supposed to believe this? I'm supposed to honor this? Just imagine how you would feel, fellas, if your wife came to you and said she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. First thing I would have said was, you was a lie and the truth ain't in you. Because how does that even happen? It's my way, right? Mother Moore's way was, you know, Joseph saw Mary and said, hey there, honey, you know. You're getting kind of thick around there, you know. Mother Moore didn't say that. That's me. That's my attitude. She didn't say that. What she said was, he happened to see her and notice her that she would start growing. I just had to put it in 2023. She's like, girl, you're getting thick over there. What's going on? What's happening? What's happening? She's like, yeah, I've been meaning to tell you. You tell me what? I'm pregnant. Like, what? Pregnant? Pregnant how? Pregnant by the Holy Spirit. What? Are you serious? I don't know how the conversation went, but I do know that they had to have a conversation. And Jesus got here. Or check the revelation. This is what I love. That's what I love. And this is how I know the Holy Spirit downloaded this to me. This is how I know they was able to have a successful conversation. Because the Bible says that Joseph wanted to put her out. He wanted to end the engagement. But for some reason, he slept on it. And because he slept on it and didn't just go out of pure emotion, he allowed the Holy Spirit to come in and to make plain what had happened. But when we don't handle crucial conversations correctly, we leave no room for God to come in and make it plain. And that's why marriages end. That's why friendships end. Because we don't leave any room for God. Everybody is not going to get it. Everybody is not going to understand. But when somebody has the Holy Spirit within them, that God has a way. Husbands, we know. Yeah, you were wrong. Go ahead, apologize. Sorry, you're right. But we don't give room for the Holy Spirit to work because we become our own God and our own way based off how we think, what we feel, and how we see it, and we leave no room for God to come in and to bring clarity, wisdom, and understanding. And let me tell you something. You know, I hate when people come to me, I'm be honest with you, and tell me God said. I'll tell you why. Because typically what we do is we say what God said, and then we make up the rest that we don't understand. Instead of just saying what God said. So then we consider who you are, where you come from, what you've been through, and then we add us into the conversation. And then now God can't get no glory because God didn't say that. You said that. If I ever prophesied it to you, sometimes I give you incomplete thoughts because I learned to only give what God said. I see you getting on the train. I don't know if you're going somewhere. I don't know what it means to you, but my duty and responsibility is to not to make up the rest that I don't know. It's just to give you what God gave me. Then we start trying to play God. The interesting thing, if you go study this, if you look in Luke, after the angel comes to Mary, Mary goes and visits it. Mother, what's her name? Elizabeth. She goes in to visit Elizabeth, and she tells Elizabeth everything of her encounter with the Holy Spirit. But the thing that I love about it is if you go read it, it's word for word of what the angel said to her. She didn't try to make up what she didn't understand. She didn't try to fill in the blanks. So I can imagine that Mary didn't try to make sense of it. Because what you got to understand is that if God is allowing a crucial conversation to happen between you and somebody, that means there's some glory that he wants to get from it. There's some growth that's supposed to come from it. There's some healing. There's some deliverance. There's something that God wants to do in the conversation. But we start to put ourselves in it and we mess it up. If God tell you to go tell somebody, tell them exactly what God said and shut up. Amen. Don't say nothing else. Because God is not going to let his word return void. But when you put you in it, even though it's something what God said, it ain't what he said. So we see from this scripture the birth of Jesus, the birth of a Savior coming into the world because Mary and Joseph was able to handle a crucial conversation. I'm pregnant. You pregnant by who? By the Holy Spirit. How does that even happen? But because Mary gave Joseph the truth and what God said, she didn't have to convince Joseph. You see, sometimes in crucial conversations, we want to convince the person that we're right. We want to convince this. We have our own personal agenda. But you got to remove your agenda and let God just be God. And listen, if Joseph would have put Mary away, I'm sure Jesus would have found another way. I'm sure God would have found another way for Jesus. I'm sure he would have. But because she had the willing and the diligence to handle the conversation properly, when he went to bed, the Holy Spirit was supposed to speak. Don't think that every crucial conversation you have is coming to an end point or to a place where there is so-called clarity. We understand it better, what? By and by. We are all seeing through a glass, what? Merely, right? It's no complete pictures here. Dimly. Allow God to be God. And stop putting what you think, what you feel, and what you think he's doing and saying into the conversation. And this happened because they were able to have a crucial conversation. She didn't have to convince, I swear to you, I've never been with a man, I'm a virgin. She didn't have to do that because she simply said what God said. She wasn't worried about convincing him because she was sure of what God told her. That's the revelation. If you allow God, if you allow yourself to handle the conversation properly, God will come in and say and speak everything that you meant to say. He'll make it plain. He'll fix it. He'll put it together so the person can understand it and digest it and move forward. But I want to give you really quick the benefits. This is why we have to do this. The benefits of successful crucial conversations. The benefits of successful crucial conversations. Number one, I'm almost done. We can make a good time. Is the devil cannot win. Did y'all know that ever since it got word that Jesus was going to be born, that people were out to kill him? Could you imagine if Mary and Joseph didn't handle the conversation properly and Mary wouldn't have followed Joseph and went the way that he told him to go? Could you imagine what have happened? Could you imagine if she was all alone or separate? Could you imagine if they had discord? Well, when that happens, guess what happens? The devil wins. The devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And when we don't handle crucial conversations, we allow the devil to win. But you got to be so committed to handling these conversations right and handling people right and being selfless that you say, beyond how you made me feel, beyond how this upset me, I am not willing to let the devil win. Because our confusion brings more confusion. Our confusion makes our kids confused. You gotta stop letting the devil win. Don't let him win. Move beyond how you feel. Because there's a war going on. And that war is not with flesh and blood. Number two, the benefit of successful conversations is unity. It's unity. You have to understand. Have you ever seen a marching band or ever seen a military or anybody line up in a formation? Everybody's on the same step. Everybody on the same beat. Everybody moves the same way. Do you understand how powerful that is? Do you understand that in unity, unity doesn't mean that we agree on the issue, but unity means that we're going to operate in love and march and go on the same beat? I don't have to agree with you to have unity with you. But when I have unity with you, the devil cannot win. Watch this. Watch this. Unity says, I feel offended and I am hurt. And so-and-so comes up to me and says, can you believe so-and-so? Why they let them do you? They did it. And you know, you just be like, you know what? You're right. You sure right. And then you just go off at somewhere else. But unity says, hold on. I know that this wasn't done the right way. I know this wasn't, you know, handled properly or this or that. But we walking together. And because we walking together, I understand that this person is human. They made a mistake. But that's not going to come against what we got and what we got going on and how we moving and why we're doing what we're doing or what the mission is. Unity. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Unity is not without conflict. Unity is not without disagreement. Unity is in spite of the conflict, in spite of the disagreement, that I love you because I love you even though I don't agree what you've done to me. I love you because I love you even though I don't agree what you said to me. But I'm not arguing and fighting and bickering and talking about you behind your back or got all this drama going on because of what you did to me, because we have unity. Unity. And when we achieve unity as a body, as a church, when we receive unity as a praise team, when we receive unity as musicians, when we receive unity as couples and everything like this, we get so on point that the tricks and the scandals and everything that the enemy has set in place, it can't prosper. It can't prosper, not because it didn't happen, but because we got unity. Check this out. God decided to bring forth Jesus in the most unconventional way. And because of this, there were attacks that were sent out. There were attacks to kill him. There was ransoms put on his head. But Mary and Joseph was able to escape, and she was able to birth Jesus because they had unity. You see, God's gonna do what God's gonna do. And when you achieve unity, life still happen, y'all. People, I don't care who they are. Listen, we are all human. We are all subject to bad mistakes. But we gotta have unity. We achieve unity. Number three, and I'm done, is no spoils. If you just take a second and think over your life, what you have spoiled or allowed to be spoiled because a crucial conversation was unsuccessful. Could you imagine the friends or the people that God strategically put in our lives because he knew there was going to be a season where we would need them. But because we couldn't have a crucial conversation properly, we no longer have that there. Can you imagine the money you left on the table because you couldn't have a crucial conversation? Can you imagine the spoils y'all know that as believers that we always win, right? This whole thing of suffering or lacking first to move forward, that ain't Bible. He said, you're the head and not the tail. He said, you're above and not beneath. He said, you're the lender and not the borrower. Where is lack at in that? Where is spoils in that? But we've adapted, thank you, Holy Spirit, this mindset of the world that you win some and you lose some. How can you lose when your father owns? How can you ever be defeated? But we've allowed this mindset that just because I lost a little bit, or just because I'm not dead, I'm all right. No, you a king's kid. I don't know about you, but I want everything that God has for me. Listen, if God got some money for me, I want every red cent. I can't spoil nothing. I want it all. But we have to get out of this mindset that there are some spoils. No, spoils come from mismanagement. Spoils come from poor decisions. Spoils come from the lack of handling crucial conversations. But spoils is not a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. But you gotta have the mindset that I want all that God has for me. I want all of it. I mean all of it. All of it. Because I understand that if God has given it to me, then he has purpose for it in my life. But when we don't handle crucial conversations, we allow the enemy to win. Because I have spoils. God don't want you to lose nothing. When them people rode up on David and his people and caught them slipping, he said, you shall recover what? All. He didn't say some. He didn't say half. He said all. That means that he wants me to have all. But can I be honest with you? If you don't learn how to handle crucial conversations, you're going to end up with some spoils. You're going to end up with some spoils. Because handling a crucial conversation is allowing God to add super to your natural. It's allowing divine intervention Mary had the conversation with Joseph. Joseph said, man, I'm putting you out. Holy Spirit came, said, Joseph, no, you won't. Don't be afraid. Take her as your wife. Joseph only got to the point where he can hear God because Mary was able to master a crucial conversation. Stand to your feet, all of them. I'm done. When we handle crucial conversations, confidence is gained, clarity is gained, compassion is gained, compromise is gained, credibility is gained, compromise is gained. Courage is gained. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, Lord, for this message, crucial conversations. And God, we say, forgive us for stunting our own growth. Because we couldn't handle a crucial conversation. God, we say sorry for where we are. Because we know that the ability of handling these conversations properly would have had us way further in life. God, we say sorry for the stuff that we've spoiled. The very things that you've given us. God, we're sorry for thinking that lack was a part of your plan for us. But we serve notice today that we lock loaded and ready for every crucial conversation that needs to happen because the devil cannot win. God, and I pray right now that this week that you will remind us and that you will lead us to these conversations that need to be had so unity can be achieved. God, and so that no gift that you've given us can be spoiled. God, we thank you right now that you're preparing our hearts, that you're preparing our minds, that you're preparing our lips, that you're opening our minds, that you're helping us to be compassionate. You're helping us to be able to listen, to understand, and not to respond. We thank you that marriages are being restored. We thank you that friendships are being mended. We thank you, Lord, that we're going and we're taking back everything that was spoiled from our inability. And we give you the honor. And we give you the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Listen. I believe that this week, there's been some conversations that you've been avoiding. That God is about to put on Front Street. There's some things you've been running from that God is saying it's now time to face. Because you have to understand, sometimes the conversation gives birth to a savior. What you need, what God is getting ready to do, could be on the other side of the conversation. Yes, God. Jesus' name. Amen. You may be in this place today. You don't know the Lord and the pardon of your sins. You say, I want to be saved. Or maybe you don't have a church home. You say, I want to join this church. If you want to join this church, I promise you, to go visit our connection station. Let somebody know. Fill out a card. Go to our website. Click guest card. Fill that information out. Take our starting point class and you can become a member. But if you're in this place today and you don't know the Lord, the pardon of your sins, and you say, I want to be saved, just close your eyes, bow your heads. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, say, I give you my heart. Say, I give you my mind. I give you my body. I give you my soul. Say, I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead, and I want to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, if you prayed that prayer, I simply believe that you are saved. Now, I challenge you to get connected to a good Bible-believing church. I don't know what's going on over there, but I say it all the time. But this place is where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. If you want to be here, Pastor Sam and I would love to be your pastors. We'll love to partner with you in this thing called life and help you on this journey. Amen. You got something? You good? All right. Listen, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, Lord, for this message. We thank you, Lord, that drastic change is coming over our lives. God, we thank you that we shall never be the same. Now, God, as we leave this place, but never from your presence, let your love go with us and be with us. Help us, oh God, to find everything as we left it or even in better condition. And we thank you and we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.